everybody, and welcome to episode 12 of Screen Champs. I'm your host, Dubs, here with my co-host, the Madman Moan.
What's going on, brother?
What's happening, man? You know, if you're not following us on Instagram, go to @ScreenChamps on Instagram. And if you have any questions, suggestions, comments, thoughts, concerns, even, hit us up at ScreenChampsPod@gmail.com. We got an email from Karina. Was asking us about The Night Stalker and if we saw that. And so, as you guys know, we're going to talk about The Night Stalker today, kind of give our reaction to that. And she also asked what our thoughts are on other, you know, serial killer documentaries and movies and stuff like that. So we're going to start doing some research, maybe some sleepless nights over it, because the content is a little terrifying. But we're going to come at you with the top five serial killer movies, documentaries, something like that in the coming weeks here. You know, I don't have a specific timeline on it, but it's definitely coming soon. And the other thing that was asked, which warmed my heart, was where are the challenge recaps? We're going to do a challenge mid-season recap next episode just for you, and also because we're watching it and we love it. But yeah, so challenge mid-season recap coming next episode. It's going to be fun. All right, so, you know, as promised, here we go. Hop into Night Stalker, The Hunt for a Serial Killer. Number one on Netflix. I think it still is number one on Netflix. Keeps, like, fighting with Bridgerton up there. True crime documentary, Richard Ramirez. Madman, your thoughts?
Everyone was coming to L.A. Everyone was coming to L.A. L.A. was popular. L.A. was popping. Everyone wanted to be rich and famous and make it here. Uh-huh. You got people that are coming over from the Midwest or you know, all the way from the East Coast. And plot twist, Richard Ramirez is out there just terrorizing this whole freaking city. It's impressive how they show like one killing and yeah. It's in LA, then it's like poof, then it's like a Monrovia. I only know one person in Monrovia. And then it's showing me the whole graphic and it's like that's a little far, but maybe not. Maybe it is true what they say in LA, you could get anywhere in 20 minutes. With traffic, it's obviously
an hour added. You can't go anywhere in LA in 20 minutes.
with traffic, it just adds an extra hour.
Yeah,
Richard Ramirez figured out a way. He was fine. It was scary because people always said it was scary. You know, people had said that when they were going up, this was happening, and people were for sure locking their doors and yada yada yada. And I'm like, all right, whatever. It's not that serious. Plot twist, like. I saw how serious it was, and I got creeped out. I keep looking at my door, making sure that it's locked. And when it's not, I'm so, like, afraid. I don't know if I'm really safe or not. I'm just so scared, man.
Yeah, it's a crazy story. You know, I can say that I actually, like, if you would have told me, asked me about the Night Stalker or Richard Ramirez, I would have had nothing to say to you. I knew absolutely nothing about this guy. I'm not a big... I mean, I do like true crime documentaries, you know, that's how I seem to learn anything. Before this, I knew nothing. So I thought the whole thing was interesting. I did not know how it was going to wrap up. The whole like ending of it was awesome, you know, because of, you know, the way like he gets stopped by like just a bunch of people in LA, like on the streets, you know, they see him and stop him. It's a little more dramatic than that, but I mean, it's badass. And they just start hitting him with a stick. Like shit's cool, you know? That's super cool.
Shout out to that one guy. He was like, he's talking in Spanish. He was like, and I grabbed that pole. Yeah. I ripped it out and I just hit him in the head with it. And then Richard Ramirez is like, oh, those people, if I had a gun, you know, I could have separated the whole crowd. But, you know,
yeah,
because I didn't, they became so brave. They wouldn't have been brave if I would have had a gun.
Yeah.
Like, shut up, dude.
Yeah, he's a little punk. Yeah. But some of that stuff was really cool. I feel like this could have been like two episodes, like two and a half, like or like three strong episodes. If you ask me, four episodes is a little too much for this. I don't know if you feel the same, but
Really, I wanted like two more episodes.
Oh,
I wanted,
shit.
Like a little sixer miniseries. Like I wanted to see more. And it's the more I thought about it, the more like Hollywood messed that up for me. Because I wanted to see more of Richard Ramirez, more of the Night Stalker.
Uh-huh.
But I think I just wanted to see him more on camera because of Hollywood. Because I've seen this guy in American Horror Story. I've seen this guy in another movie with Lou Diamond Phillips. I think he plays him in a movie that okay. I saw that wasn't that great. And so I just wanted to see more of him. I felt like, because we haven't talked about the two cops, But I felt like Gil Carrillo,
mm-hmm.
where he, when they capture him, he's like, I wanted to, he's like, I jumped and I drove over there and because I wanted to talk to him. This is my foe. This is someone that, you know, I've spent all this time looking for, and now we finally got him. I want to talk to him. I want to see what he's about, which was good because the whole time you're rooting for Gil Carrillo, Gil is, all he wanted to do was be a cop. All he wanted to do is make his dad proud, and he does just that. Yeah. He gets partnered up with his freaking goon, Frank Salerno. So I don't know if you liked him, Dubs, but I wasn't really a big fan of Frank.
I did enjoy the story as it started going on and getting to know their backstory. I thought that was mm-hmm. cool. You know, like you said, he wanted to make his dad proud. I thought this was a Night Stalker documentary. Why the hell do we know about this guy, this cop who wants to make his dad proud? Like, how did that come up? Well, the first episode's not even about Richard Ramirez, really. It's about these cops. And I enjoyed it at first, but then as it was over, I was like, yeah, I didn't give a shit about those cops, actually. So I just kind of wish, I kind of wish they just hopped in and he was like, hey, I'm Gil Carrillo and I'm Frank Salerno and we're going to try and find this guy. Let's go.
Well, that's one of my shticks. I hate that they were incompetent, but then it's not that they were really incompetent. It's just that times were different back then.
Okay.
They found his fingerprint and they had to look through all these documents of other people's fingerprints
yeah.
to try to match them.
Yeah.
That sounds insane. If I got hit with that job, imagine if Gil Carrillo, he wanted to make his dad proud, wants to be a cop, and he ends up in that job. And he's just looking at
he's the fingerprint guy. He's like, where are you looking at fingers, son? I'm not proud of you. And then his other son, like, is homeless, but, like, builds him a table from scraps he found in the street. And he's like, mijo, I'm proud of you. You are the yeah. one. Like, you're the son I'm proud of. This is
your
job.
You're your own boss. That's terrible. Why not be Gil got the guy? No, but weird, right? Because it's a different time. It's hard to get this stuff. They had a whole jerry-rig system where Richard Ramirez was going to go get his tooth done because he had, apparently, like, horribly bad teeth. And the dentist was like, he's going to die. He's going to die. He's going to kill him. So he's going to come back here. And they're like, for sure, let's put cops there. We're going to have put cops there. We're going to put this special button. You're going to click it. We're going to hear it from our station. It's going to go off. Balloons are going to fly. We're going to go over there. We're going to catch the guy. They only did that for like a few days. And then the day they pull those cops, like, you know, whatever. They're going to pull these cops. It's just a waste of payroll. We still have the button. Richard Ramirez walks right in, gets his tooth done.
Insane.
And meanwhile, the whole time, the dentist is just frantically just smashing the button. Just call the cops.
Yeah. These weird things that don't really add up. You know, like, it's wild.
Makes no sense.
Yeah.
I forgot how crazy it was when they got the Avia shoe print.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I must have missed this. You were saying there was only one of those shoes was sent to Los Angeles? Is that correct?
Yeah. So, well, the Avia shoe part, it's just crazy. It is funny because I was talking shit while we were watching it. Like, we're watching it, and they're like, so we matched the print to a shoe, the Avia shoe. So immediately, we fly to Washington, where they create the shoe. And I was like, damn, someone must have wanted the day off, huh? A little work trip, you know? Probably got a cocktail. And, you know, they're chilling. Like, yeah, I'll go look at the shoe manufacturer. Plot twist, they find out a ton of information. Like, I was talking shit, and then immediately they're like, we found out that, you know, there was this many shoes, and that judging from what the victims told us, it was a black shoe. Only one black shoe was sent to the Los Angeles area. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, it was a worthwhile trip. This isn't a boondoggle. This is real. That being said, you know, they get nothing from it, which I kind of was impressed. Like, it seems like all these cop shows are actually maybe more, not cop shows, but like these movies where they just can't figure shit out. Maybe those are more like real than we've ever known, you know, because watching this true crime thing, they can't figure out anything. Like, they have none. Now, again, it's the 80s. Now someone does like a DNA test to see if they're like, you know, 2% Samoan and they get linked to a murder from 4 years ago. They're like, damn, I thought I got away with that. It's like, yeah, bro. Well, now you're sending your DNA in, brother. It's not good. So, you know, so watch out with that ancestry.com if you ever want to break laws, guys. Just be careful.
Right? You're like, not the results I wanted. Not the results I wanted.
Future jail sentence. And it'll get your like cousins and stuff too. Like, they'll be like, hey, well, we knew it wasn't this person, but someone related to him. I'm like, damn. Like, that's cold-blooded. But hey, you know, just don't murder people, and then it's all right.
It is crazy how it ended. It ended with just the people hitting him and a little police brutality.
Yeah, police brutality. It's kind of crazy how they like gloss over it almost. But at the end of the third episode, the guy's like, all right, you know. And this guy who I knew who it was, I'm trying to get a name out of him, and he doesn't want to give me the name. So I tell him, you know, hey, buddy, you know, this guy's been killing people. You need to tell me the name. And he's like, I'm not going to do it. He's like, so I rolled up my sleeves, and I gave him one good one, you know? And I'm like, holy shit. This guy's talking about how he beat the shit out of some guy in the back of his car. Like, this is crazy. And he's proud as hell. And that's, like, you know, he's stoked. And it's like, damn. And that's how they got this guy. That's how they got this guy, because some guy who knew Rich Ramirez. Now, why
did punched the shit out of him.
He just started beating him up. And it's like, well, that's crazy. You know, you shouldn't do that. But then at the same time, I don't think there's anyone, you know, well, there's probably someone who's like, you know, you shouldn't have done it. But I think at the same time, you know, everyone's like, well, thank God he beat the shit out of that guy so we could figure out who this guy was. That being said, police brutality is a terrible thing. Obviously, it goes without saying, but I'm just going to say it because you know how it is. Wild show. I would recommend it. I wish they had one episode less. I would almost say watch like the first episode, then watch the second half of the third episode, and then the fourth episode, and you'll probably get everything you needed. And the last thing, too, I will say is that we didn't talk about his crimes at all, which I think is great because they're awful. This is the most graphic, like, crime. Now, not graphic as far as, I mean, you see a lot of graphic stuff, but the things he did is as bad or worse than I've ever just heard about ever. So if you're sensitive to those things, stay away from this because this guy was a dirtbag.
It's
like 100%
maniac. Yeah. If we kind of go in detail some of the stuff that he did, I don't think we could air this episode because this guy was crazy. This guy was just a crazy lunatic of a weird guy. He had a freaking pentagon on this. Is it a pentagon?
Yeah.
A pentagram?
You know, I'm just going to say I don't know. And that's because I'm not a Satanist. And that's why we don't know. Because we're not Satan guys. And if you do know, you Satan worshiper, keep it to yourself.
Don't email us. We don't want that bad energy.
This is the history of, you know, pentagons or whatever. Because I don't know what it is.
A shout out to Gil. He's talking. He's like, so we have a little a slang talk. And I say, orale. What's going on, Rich? And orale means it's a Mexican greeting that you would only know in the streets.
Yeah.
And then after he does that, he's like, I'm talking to him, and he's breathing loud. And then I see his hands kind of levitate. And I've been shot. I've been stabbed. But I never been in a room with someone levitating. He's like, I'm running out the door.
I think he said, like, if this guy starts floating around the room, I'm out of here. Jeez. All right. But that's how crazy this guy was, that he literally had people thinking, you know, forward-thinking people, like, hey, he might just start floating around this room because he was that psychotic. But I would definitely watch it, and let me know what you guys think, if you enjoyed it or what's going on.
Don't let me know if you're a groupie, because even with how crazy this guy was, he had groupies sending him photos in prison, and he married, I think, one of them.
He did get married afterwards, which just lets you know that some people are broken, and those broken people are probably now on dating apps. So swipe right, guys. Find out. Just kidding. And next year we have Euphoria. Their special episode 2 dropped. So we talked about already the first one, which we both loved, heavily featured Zendaya and Carl Domingo, pretty much as them talking in a cafe. It kind of just, it was probably one of my favorite things I've watched since we've been doing this show. Like, it was so good. Yeah. We have episode 2. It does not have Zendaya or Carl Domingo in it. Well, Zendaya for a little bit. But it's Jules. So Jules is played by Hunter Schafer. And this is kind of essentially, it's almost as if Euphoria season 1 was being told through Jules' perspective. So we're just kind of seeing, you know, how she's reacting to the world, what's going on around her. I'll say this. My favorite thing about TV and movies is like the conversation. I love the dialogue. I'm a big talking person. I mean, I like some violence too here and there, but I love the dialogue. You know, and a lot of times aesthetics aren't huge to me. You know, I just almost see them as gimmicky a lot, you know, depending on how aesthetic-y it is. You know, it's hard to describe exactly. I know what I mean in my head, but it's hard to explain it. But the beginning of this little, you know, show where Lord's liability is playing, and we're seeing everything flash over, you know, all these memories. You see him through Jules's eye, like the camera's on her eye, and you see everything flash. That was the coolest shit I ever seen. I loved it. It brought me right in. I was a huge fan of that. So, and a huge fan of that song. I'd never heard that song before. I'm a big fan of that song too.
I think after I watched it, you sent me a text. You're like, big fan of Lord, huh? Like,
yeah. I was all about
that, that was a vibe. That was a total vibe.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting because it is essentially like a recap of season one.
Yeah.
And there is no Carl Domingo, which I think we both talked about how we kind of missed that.
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of missing that aspect. But what I did like was, you know, when you go in for an audition, you sit down, someone's feeding you lines, you respond to them. Depending how you respond to them, depending how you act, essentially, you get the job. And it was a lot of expression on her part. It was a lot of her just acting. I think because she put herself in that vulnerable state and did a hell of a job acting and expressing herself and going through different ranges of emotions, she might get more leading roles in movies or other projects because of how just well she did working by herself, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought that was impressive. I thought it was good. It was definitely different than the real episode. The real episode I liked a little bit more. But, you know, Carl Domingo is a big factor with it, too.
No, I think the Rue episode was it's almost like unfair to compare to it. At least I just felt it was so strong. And the Jules episode, the first time I actually watched it twice because I wanted to watch that scene again with the eye. And then I ended up just watching the whole episode. So I liked it more the second time. And again, it so much of this stuff depends on your perspective, you know, and your mind state going in the sense that if you sit down to watch something and you think I'm not going to like this, you're probably not going to like it. And not that that's how I felt the first time I watched it. But the second time I watched it, I started thinking about myself in high school and I started thinking about relationships and I started thinking about, like, you know, the insecurity that I felt at that time and how you interact with other people and how those insecurities manifested themselves and how someone else seeing you, like, you know, she talks about, you know, falling, you know, Jules character falling for the Rue character just because she's like, no one's ever looked at me like that. Like, no one's ever seen me. And you know, it's kind of like you're it's like coming from this place of like, you're kind of broken. And then it's almost like someone sees you and they don't see the broken and you're like, oh shit. And you latch onto it. And, and so I kind of let myself go to this place of like, you know, being a younger person and having those emotions and having those feelings. And it just resonated a whole lot more that second viewing, just because of the mind state I put myself in going into it. Even though right now I don't feel like that person, but there was a time, and this show's about high schoolers, you know? And so,
you forget they're like in high school.
Yeah. Cause they're like high school. They're all like doing drugs and it's all, you know, which is normal high school stuff, but it's just crazy. The show's crazy.
I mean, it's also a crazy show. It's nuts. There's a lot of things I forgot about. I forget about how much of a freaking dirtbag and jerk Shy Guy was.
Yeah.
And it sucks because this is like abuse. She's like, I'm in love with him and he wasn't even real. And I was like, damn. Ah, like frustrating.
It's rough.
And then they unload, you know, you find out that her mom is like struggling with rehab. She is an abuser as well.
Yeah.
And seeing that through Rue and, you know, having those concerns of someone you care about and being afraid of them relapsing. It sucks, man. It sucks.
Yeah, definitely. It was super strong, you know, super strong. So I give it high marks for sure. Definitely recommend it. And it's so cool because the way things are created, they were going to film season two and then the pandemic's going on, you know, COVID, they can't film the way they want to. So, you know, they zig and zag and they're like, all right, well, because we can't film, we're going to film these little one-off episodes. They weren't planning on doing this. This wasn't something that was going to happen. They were just going to film season two and we just get season two of a show. But instead we have these really cool, almost like movie, like, you know, little just like pieces of content that are just badass and live in that world and are told in a way that they probably would have never told them before. And it really gave them a chance to flesh out their characters. And like, we learned a lot about Jules. And I know that Hunter Schafer was involved in writing the episode with Sam Levinson. So it's just cool. It's just super cool. I love it all.
I love it. I love it. We got to see more. Is there going to be more episodes like this?
Nah, I think those are the only two. Again, the show Euphoria is kind of wild. If you watched it and stopped watching it because you've never seen so many penises in your life, I understand. But those two episodes are just, they're just some great content. So check it out. Hopping into our quick hits here, Godzilla vs. Kong trailer. So this is I feel like this is the first big trailer that we've had in a long time. Maybe Wonder Woman? Like, I can't think of the last, like, new big budget trailer we've had. I think it's Wonder Woman.
I think you're correct.
Yeah, so
I think it was Wonder Woman.
I was stoked to see this. And again, I literally just said that my favorite thing about movies is, like, the dialogue and stuff like that. But there was something that just felt so good about watching a movie that was clearly expensive as hell. Like the trailer, I just felt good watching it.
Yes. I'm going to share a tweet that one of my buddies sent out that resonates with me so much. He said, I was excited for Godzilla 2014 and it sucked. I was excited for Godzilla King of the Monsters 2019 and that sucked. Yet here I am excited for Godzilla versus Kong, knowing damn well that it's going to probably suck.
That's great.
I feel the same way.
Yeah. No, I'm pumped. I hear that.
And I think it's going to suck.
It definitely is going to suck. But I did like Kong Skull Island. I thought that was kind of cool.
That one was cool. That one, I liked that one. That one was like, all right. Okay, it wasn't that great. No.
No, it's because this is like the MonsterVerse. You know, this is the fourth movie. And yes. Like, they're creating a whole world around this. So it's been a slow buildup. You know, and they had the two Godzilla movies. They had the King Kong movie where they made him bigger because he's never been that big. So they're like, if he's going to fight Godzilla, he's got to be big as hell. So they're like, well, we got to put out a King Kong movie where he's big as hell. Otherwise, everyone's going to be confused. So they did that. So now here we are. They're fighting each other.
I'm excited for just the fight, like monsters. I feel like it's like Manny Pacquiao versus Mayweather or something. Okay. I'm excited for that. I'm excited. I might just bet on it. I might just bet that King Kong's going to win. Because I feel like he has to win, right? Or Godzilla?
There's a lot of theories I've read, almost to the point that it may be a spoiler. But again, everyone says this is what they think it's going to happen, but that Godzilla and King Kong are going to start fighting, and then they're going to team up against Mechagodzilla.
Yeah.
I don't know what Mechagodzilla even is. I literally have no idea. I probably should have looked it up before we did this, because I know the name Mechagodzilla. I know it's a thing, I think. I have no idea what it is. So there you go. I'm gonna be able to watch this movie and be like, oh, I guess that's Mechagodzilla. I'm assuming like machine. Maybe I no clue in the world.
It's like a robot version of him.
Damn. Yeah. So yeah, maybe well, yeah. There you go.
Because the last Godzilla, you saw all these mythical creatures in their world, all these monsters: Mothra, the one with the freaking two heads.
Yep. That one. Yeah.
The freaking
two-headed guy.
Pterodactyl one.
Yeah.
The flame bird.
Yeah.
And Mothra like loved Godzilla.
Charizard, right? Yeah.
There was something going on. A bunch of Pokemon were just freaking flying out of there.
Yeah, let's do it.
Terrorizing the town.
I need a live action Pokemon that's not Detective Pikachu. Like I need a different one. But it's all right. We'll get there.
Which one do you want then?
Well, Detective Pikachu was just kind of weird, you know? Like, Pikachu was Ryan Reynolds. Oh, see, this is okay. See, okay, that makes sense. You're like, what could have been? Now I understand. Like, what could have been better than what we got? No, I just
Ryan Reynolds fan.
Yeah, huge Ryan Reynolds fan. The madman here. I just think that it could have been, I don't know, it could have felt like I felt when I was a kid wanting to... I don't know. I imagine
capture a Pokemon.
Yeah. Like some kid running through like I'm thinking of Minari now, which I feel like no one's seen. But in the trailer, you know, my guy, the little boy, he's like running through the grass. And then all of a sudden he sees a Pokemon and just like, you know, he's like, all right, throws his Pokeball at it. You just got to try, you know, got to catch them all. And then he starts, or he goes to Professor Oak and Professor Oak gives him like his first Squirtle or, you know, Charmeleon or whatever, you know, like or Charmander. I just want this to, you know, I want it to feel like I felt, not have Ryan Reynolds be like a smart ass Pikachu. Like, I, you know, I want the, you know, I don't want the Pokemon to talk. I want like man's dominion over animal. I want it like biblical, you know, as God wanted. And I just, that's what I want.
Yeah. Well, I think we're far from it.
Oh man, that's so sad to hear. That's the saddest thing I've heard.
But monsters fighting each other is cool.
Yes.
Monsters just going at it with each other. I think it's going to be dope. A lot of people didn't like the new Pacific Rim movie because there wasn't a lot of fighting, I guess. And it just has to be a nonstop fight. I just want to see like very little dialogue, just a bunch of just fighting. People just going at it. Just Godzilla versus King Kong. Just going at it. And the Mecha Godzilla comes out. They both kind of look at each other like, oh, all right, let's, you know, put our fists up, you know. And then they fight this Mecha Godzilla.
Yeah, I feel like this is like flash forward to March when we review this movie. And it's like, all right, yeah, there's a little too much fighting. No story development. No, I'm just kidding. We'll see. There's a part of it that because I know it's all computer animated, it just kind of, it has to be real cool, man. It has to be real cool. Because if it's not, it's just a computer screen fighting with itself. You know what I mean? Like it has to be cool.
Oh, it's, I get what you're saying.
Probably not going to be that cool. I don't know. That being said, it still felt good watching the trailer. I'm still excited that a big budget movie's coming out. Even if I'm going to watch it at home, it just felt cool seeing an expensive movie. It felt like things were normal and there was no pandemic.
Yeah, I'm with you. And if it bombs, I'll be stoked too. I'll be like, I could be able to talk to my friends about it and be like, wow, you know, can't believe it bombed. Who would have predicted that? This guy.
And speaking of things are back to normal, Flora Bomb Ashore on MTV, our favorite trashy reality show, is back February 25th. This time they're going to Montana and Lake Havasu in the snow. These are people that thrive in the bar environment in the sense that they fall apart, vomit, and screw in that environment and fight with people in public more so than I've seen on every TV show. They fight as if they're like immune to the police, and they're not because they get arrested on the show. So Floribama's back away from the public due to the pandemic. What trouble are they going to get into this time? I don't know.
I don't know. What's up with Kodai? He's always naked.
Kodai is living his best life, dude. Hey, shout out a man with confidence. I'll say that. Kodai, he's an enigma. I do like him. Like when I saw Kodai, I was like, hell yeah, Kodai. And then by the end of the trailer, he's literally laying naked on the floor. And I was like, God damn it, Kodai. Like, what's like, going on?
Put a hand on it. And there's some more Gus Jeremiah, like, bromance, bro hate. It's the weirdest thing. I've never seen two shirtless men hug each other so much and cry.
Yeah, it's a lot. And Gus, his hair is a mess. I didn't even recognize Jeremiah at first in the, like, I thought he wasn't there at first. In the thumbnail, I thought it was just some random hick because of the hat he was wearing, I guess. But Jeremiah's back. They're all back except Courtney. Courtney and Riley, you said, who's got, you know, 1,000 problems going on. And Maddie's not coming back because she was also cut by MTV. So she's not going to be on any MTV shows due to the fact that she is constantly getting DUIs.
Yeah, like our third DUI. They're getting rid of problematic characters, which kind of sucks because Maddie really fit this world real quick, eased right in.
Yeah.
It was electrifying seeing her last season.
Yeah.
And she was like, God called and he asked for more vodka. Where's the bottle?
Yeah.
like bloodshot eyes.
Yeah. The devil in her eyes. That's what I always like. I personally, when I see people and they have that dead look in their eye, I always say they got the devil in their eyes when the substances have taken over. Maddie had the devil in her eyes a lot, you know. It was just a haze over him, you know. She was a mess, which did fit right into the trashy world of Floribama Shore. So we'll see how it goes. I'm excited that it's coming back, to be honest. It's one of the got bored with Jersey Shore. I haven't been keeping up with it. I will keep up with Floribama because they're a hot mess.
Yes, sir.
All right. And next, probably one of the coolest things I've read in a long time, especially when you take into account our whole streaming world we got going on. The movie Palm Springs, Hulu original, on my top 10 list, on the Madman's top 10 list, number 3 for him, we have a commentary track available. Now, there's some people, a lot of people may be listening to this and being like, commentary track? Like, well, you know, like, who cares? And it's like, well, you clearly haven't bought DVDs in the last week. I've bought 3 because I want to hear what people have to say about these movies that I love. And I care about the special features. They're big to me. And when you get these movies that are only coming out on streaming, you're missing out on those special features. You're not getting the tracks. And this is so exciting. I haven't watched it yet. I haven't listened to it, but I cannot wait. I love the precedent they're setting, and I hope we see more of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you're not watching your DVDs, listening to the commentary, you're not living.
You're not living.
Like, you got to do it. And maybe you're like me, Dubs. There was no Netflix I had when I was 13 or 15. You know, like, we didn't have that.
Yeah, I don't think the world had it, yeah.
So I would just run through my DVDs, watch them, watch it again with the commentary. Sometimes there's like another commentary. Mm-hmm. It's like not with the director, now it's with the cast or the screenwriter. And,
oh, yeah.
And it's impressive. It's so cool. It's like reading the trivia page on IMDb on movies, just finding out these little tidbits, little fun facts.
Yeah.
And then sometimes in the IMDb trivia fun facts, it's people that know it because of the commentary.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, said in commentary, it's like this.
Yeah.
And I'm always fascinated with like knowing everything about nothing. So my movies, I'm like, oh, yeah, you know this? And they're like, no, I don't. I'm not crazy.
Well, but it does add something to know these things. Like, for instance, when I was watching Funny People, I was watching it with the commentary. I think it was Judd Apatow, Adam Sandler, Seth Rogen doing the commentary. There's a part where Adam Sandler freaks out about his TV in his room, and he's yelling at Seth Rogen, like, you got to fix this. Like, I pay all this money. Why doesn't my TV work? You got to fix this. And he's having a breakdown.
Oh, yeah.
And he said that his brother reached out to him afterwards and was like, that was hard to watch. That reminded me of Dad. And I was like, yeah, I know. And that was like, and I heard, yeah, like I had this like effect, like, oh my gosh, like what a crazy thing. And now when I see that scene, there's so much more on it because you see that it's like, holy shit, Adam Sandler's acting. And not only is he acting, he's like almost coming from childhood, like to where his dad was yelling at him, to the point where his family is like seeing it, wild stuff. Now, not every commentary has little nuggets like that, but there's always something. There's always something there that's super cool.
Yeah, it's going to be super fun. And with Palm Springs being one of my top movies, it's going to be cool to hear Andy Samberg and Kristen Milioti. But it's gonna be fun hearing them talk. They have great chemistry, and so I know their commentary is gonna be great chemistry. I know they're gonna vibe off each other, and they're really gonna go in as actors and, you know, talk about the movie. That became a surprise. It became like a surprise, enjoyable. Didn't know you needed it. You got it. Time during COVID quarantine.
Definitely.
It's gonna be sick.
So I think we're maybe like 6 months out from you binge a season of New Girl, and then all of a sudden the blooper reel for season one plays before season two, you know, so you get these little extra features and stuff that they'll just throw up there. I hope.
Oh, I'm excited for that. Like, I'm cheesing.
Yeah, dude. My deepest dive, again, I'm not going to talk about all my life, but my deepest dive, I had a Fight Club Blu-ray that had four or three different commentary tracks, I believe. And I so I watched the movie, then I watched it with the actors, then I watched it with the writer, then I watched it with like the production set design. So I watched, and I just watched it four times in a row. It was some would say it was a sad day. It's all about perspective. I thought it was pretty cool.
I don't think so. I think that's rad.
All right, so we'll hop into our review here. We got the White Tiger, Netflix original. They're doing a movie every week. This is their movie this week, and I'm glad we're doing this podcast because this is a movie I probably would not have watched if we weren't doing this, you know? And if it wasn't coming out, I would have just looked at this, skipped right over it. I'm glad we watched it. Our synopsis here is an ambitious Indian driver uses his wit and cunning to escape poverty and rise to the top. It's got a strong Rotten Tomatoes from the critics of 92%, and the audience have given it an 83%. It is written and directed by Ramin Bahrani, who also did one of my favorite movies, 99 Homes, which is badass if you haven't seen it. Michael Shannon and Andrew Garfield are in that one. And this is based on a book starring Priyanka Chopra Jonas, married to the Jonas brother, Raj Kumar Rao, and Adarsh Gurav, and who killed it. Batman, why don't you take us away? What'd you think of The White Tiger?
I thought it was dope. It was... And I'm happy you said that if we weren't doing this podcast, you probably wouldn't watch it. I probably would have watched this later on. But I want to give a shout out to the casting that they did because Adarsh Gurav absolutely killed it. It is an underdog story. I compared it a lot to like Nightcrawler. just an Indian version of it, because okay. I thought he was normal, and maybe you don't feel this way, but as the movie goes on, he gets a little kind of sociopathy, a little kind of crazy. And because of the abuse he's getting, I don't blame him. I mean, this guy wants to escape his village, right? He wants to be a driver for this rich family. I guess customs is, you know, they're your family too. They're your dad. They're your brother or whatever. And he just wants to make something out of himself. They treat him like absolute shit. But he has higher goals. He has higher motives. And he finds a way to kind of climb to the top.
Yeah.
And watching that happen, it's good. It's motivating. It's cool. There's just so much abuse someone can take.
Yeah.
Before they just lash out or, you know, take action. And shout out to Priyanka, because her character as Pinky, like, was supporting him pretty much. And she was questioning everything. She was questioning these customs. She was questioning how they treated him as a servant. She was questioning everything. And that was the little nudge I think he needed to really get where he needed to get. There's a point in the movie where he says, and moving forward from this point, my story gets darker. And it does. It has a whole mood change.
Yeah. First of all, yeah, super cool movie. If you're the kind of person that, again, you know, like us, would probably not watch this immediately, it's awesome. If you're worried about subtitles, there is a lot of it in English. There's definitely some that's not, but most of it's in English. The voiceover is in English, so it's definitely accessible in that sense. It's a story about someone who he's finding his little Breaking Bad point. Every moment's just a little twist. So it's a story about coming up and the caste system in India. And a lot of ways it does reflect what this director's done before, because 99 Homes, which happens in the U.S. and is about like the housing crisis and foreclosures and people losing their homes. It kind of dealt with these same themes just in a different way, you know, in a more American way. But in India, this is kind of what's going on. So when this movie starts, he's stoked to get this job. He's like hustling to be a driver, and the money he gets, he's happy to send it home. He tells his grandma, "You're going to be the richest, you know, richest woman here, because I'm going to send you some of my check. Like, this is great." And he is so appreciative. And then time goes on. And of course, he's treated like shit, but it's kind of par for the course. That stuff's not even that bad to him. And then eventually something happens where they go too far. Then you see the cracks in the armor where it's like, you know, and he says, it gets darker. How do I make a little extra money? If they don't know, then who are we hurting? And then that greed keeps rolling. And you kind of get to where the movie ends. It's a ride. Yeah. The movie's 2 hours and 5 minutes long. It's a ride that I would have loved to be about 1 hour 40 minutes. I feel like I'm just going to sit here on every episode and say that things should be shorter. But man, they could have taken 20 minutes off this movie. It would have been great. But it's cool as hell, bro. It's cool as hell. I thought it was awesome. It's a big recommend. I thought Adarsh Gurav, who plays the main character, he was incredible. He was smiling a ton. He was always around just sitting there smiling. As he progressed, I felt all of it. I felt it as he was going through it, and I just thought he played it really well. I'm sure we're going to see him more in the future.
Yeah, and to add perspective, he was only getting paid like $30 U.S. dollars. He was only keeping $3 worth of it each month and sending the rest to his family. Yeah. And so he wasn't really getting much. He wasn't getting anything. You know, he kind of missed a few checks back home, and then he started diving into, okay, how can I scam these guys, because they are shit people, you know?
Yeah.
They kept calling him sister fucker.
Sister fucker. Yeah, that was a bit. Yeah. But they called everyone that. I'm sure it's one of those things that it sounds lighter, you know, in the native language when they say it. Just, you know, when we say it, it's like, Jesus.
They just kept saying it so much. They didn't have a nickname. They never call him by his name.
No, I mean, Priyanka and Raj, they treated him well.
Priyanka was cool. And Priyanka's like us. She really does a good job acting as a westernized Indian, where things are different. She knows things are different. And that's why I really enjoyed her in the movie. I think she was asking all the questions we were asking in her head. She was telling them what we wanted to tell them, what we wanted to question them. But they didn't bat an eye. They just continued being who they were.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's kind of cool. I think that there's her character served a great purpose in the sense that it makes it easier for like a Western audience to digest almost. Yeah. You know, in the sense that she is asking those questions that we would ask, like, why would they do that? Why would they do that? But you can still live in both worlds, which I think is really cool. It's still like, you know, let's celebrate India. You know, there's a lot of great Indian actors and, you know, it's based on an Indian book and it's an Indian story. They want to tell it, mm-hmm. but you want to make sure that people see it too. And so I think her role was great in that sense, like you said, of just, you know, making it accessible to everyone. What are we going to rate it by?
So we could do rupees because that's what he gets paid with.
Okay.
I'm down for, he gets inspired by this tiger, no? White tigers?
White tiger. I mean, it's got to be white tigers. I mean, it feels not very creative. I'm down to rate white tiger by white tigers. I like that.
You only see a white tiger once.
It's true. Why is it
the name of the movie?
Mm-hmm. Because it resonates, you know, because of what it symbolizes. You know, it's once in a generation, the white tiger.
There we go.
And he's once in a generation. He out here hustling, bruh. So let's rate it by white tigers. I like it. White tiger, white tiger. We're doing white tigers. Do you want to go first? You want me to go first?
I want you to go
first. All right. Whew. Okay, here we go.
I'm nervous.
You're nervous? All right. So I'm a big fan of this movie. My only concern was with not just the length, but the pacing of it. There are a lot of parts in this movie. And I feel like the ending was very abrupt. Like it happened fast, and I kind of wish it didn't, even though my jaw did drop to the floor at the end. So I'll give it that. 82 white tigers out of 100. Going 82 white tigers. I feel good about that. 82 white tigers.
I love it. The same way. I feel it's so funny too, because the beginning is long, and when the story gets darker, mm-hmm. the mood change does happen, and that kind of saved it for me. I was like, dang, this is not what I thought I was going to see. Because it starts off where you don't know what's going on. He's like, this is me. We're going to get there. Let me talk to you about my life. You know, and then, boom, this is where it gets darker. And then I'm like, oh, all right, for sure. Okay, I get it, you know. And the way it ended, it was too rushed, and I wasn't happy with the outcome. I was, in a sense, but not where I'm like, okay, this is – there's got to be more to this story. There's no way it just ends like this. But I still enjoyed everything. I just wish the ending would have been a little bit longer. Maybe the beginning a little bit shorter, ending a little bit longer. Okay. But I had 83 in my mind, so your 82 is very close to me.
Okay, all right. I always have my preconceived notions going in. So anything over 2 hours, I'm like, all right, bitch, better have something to say. You better have something to say. Otherwise, it's only my life you're taking.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. If I would have known it was 2 hours, I probably would have felt a certain type of way going into it. So maybe I'm happy I didn't.
Yeah, no, man, it was a solid flick. Hope you guys check it out. White Tiger on Netflix. Next week, we're going to be reviewing The Little Things, which the first reviews came out and they're not great, which kind of makes me sad. What? But I'm not going to let that influence. I'm super excited. Denzel is a genius, and anyone who says anything different is an idiot. So we'll catch you guys next week. Peace out.
Later.
Hey, guys, that sounded great. Can we get everyone to reset? All right, take two.